Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Asia Tab. In studio, we have Dr. Susan Dicklich-Nelson, professor at Franklin and Marshall College, also founded and principal investigator of the FNM Global Barometers of Gay Rights. We're also being joined by Erin Hellenbach, project manager and research associate with the FNM Global Barometers as well. How are you two doing today?
Great, thanks.
I'm so glad you're here. So, could you explain to us what exactly is the project and what does it measure?
Yeah, great. I'm happy to do that. So the FNM Global Barometers is actually three different projects. It's the FNM Global Barometer of Gay Rights, the FNM Global Barometer of Transgender Rights, and the FNM Global Barometer Perception Index. And what we do with these three different instruments is measure how human rights protecting or persecuting countries are towards LGBTQI plus minorities.
And what did you find right here in Central PA?
Well, with the Perception Index, we found that in Pennsylvania overall, it scored a C, which, you know, you look at a grading score, C is not great. It's not an F, but it's a C. In the Susquehanna Valley in particular, we scored a little bit better than Pennsylvania overall. In the United States, it was a C, but again, Pennsylvania was doing better than the United States overall.
How do you conduct the survey?
So we've partnered with many different organizations, and what we did is we asked six simple questions. How safe do you feel? Have you experienced violence in the last year? Have you experienced discrimination? How accepted do you feel? And how safe do you feel in gathering? And so we had the survey for 3 months. It was held in 2022, and we were able to get over 171,000 responses globally.
Dr. Dicklich-Nelson, what made you feel that you needed to do this research?
That's a great question, Asia. Clearly, LGBTQ plus rights, human rights were lagging in the world. There was, you know, people have perceptions on how well LGBTQ plus people are treated, but we didn't have any real hard data. And so I wanted to collect data to be able to show what the actual reality is in terms of legislation protecting LGBTQ plus people, but also the lived reality.
And that also brings me to my next question. Do you believe the Fairness Act will help the LGBTQ plus communities feel more safe?
Well, the Fairness Act of Pennsylvania, yes. I think it's one step, right? Legislation is just one step in the process. If society is not accepting, it's not enough. But if you have legislative protections, at least you have the law on your side. So it is very important to pass that.
Was there any part of the survey that surprised either of you?
I think one thing that surprised me was the fact that there is a lot of hate between different groups within the LGBT community.
Really?
Yeah. So one thing in our survey is that we also collected comments. People could write in a comment about anything they wanted. And we actually found that there was a lot of transphobia and queerphobia within the LGBT community. People who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, writing that, you know, everything would be fine for us if it weren't for those queer, flamboyant people or for those transgender people. So I think the survey actually, while unfortunate, it was important that we capture this and that we can actually work towards, you know, more solidarity within the LGBTQ community because, right, if trans people are targeted, LGBT people will also be targeted as well. We're all in this together.
Erin, could you explain the difference to us between transphobia and queerphobia? I think that's what you just said.
Yeah, so transphobia specifically would be a hatred or a fear of transgender people. And then queerphobia would be a hatred or fear of people who identify as queer or non-binary or anywhere else on the LGBTQ spectrum.
You also said, Dr. Dicklich-Nelson, that Pennsylvania received a C in the human rights-related issues related to the LGBTQ plus community, according to the survey. What else stood out to you?
Well, it became clear to us, and this is not just in Pennsylvania, but globally, that
yes,
trans people, trans women and trans men felt less safe, felt more fearful of violence than some of the other groups, lesbian, gay, bisexual individuals. I think it was also very clear to us in Pennsylvania that, like in the United States, acceptance or feeling accepted by the straight community was much lower, and that's a problem. But they did feel safer in Pennsylvania than they did in other places, obviously in the world, in places like Uganda or Ghana or Nigeria, but also in other places like Alabama or Texas or Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting just from a statistical perspective that in the United States and then breaking it down in Pennsylvania that, as Susan just said, question two, acceptance, was the lowest scoring question as opposed to experiences with violence or discrimination. People seem to feel that the state of acceptance is the lowest for them.
And speaking of acceptance, in that we look back at like the Stonewall Uprising in Pride Month, mm-hmm. how far have we come, or have we moved forward since that event took place?
Well, we've moved forward in the sense that we have more legislative protections in the United States. For example, marriage equality has been passed. You have employment non-discrimination that's been passed. So those are really important milestones. But we still have a long way to go in terms of overall acceptance. And I think we have to be concerned about the anti-LGBTQ plus rhetoric that seems to be pervasive right now in the United States, but also globally in terms of the far right pushing anti-LGBTQ plus rhetoric.
The rhetorical tactics that were around during the Stonewall riots are almost the same today. I mean, a little bit of a different flavor. But this idea, right, that LGBTQ people, or specifically transgender people, are grooming young people, or LGBT people are pedophiles, that was the same kind of stuff we saw back then. I mean, for example, Harvey Milk was campaigning to ensure that teachers could stay teaching in public schools. And we're seeing that again right now with the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida. A lot of vitriol and upset over what's happening in public schools and with children, and that was around back then as well. So the tactic is kind of the same, even though we do have more legislative protections now.
The survey looked at violence and discrimination. Mm-hmm. Do people here in the LGBTQ plus community, do they feel safe here?
Safe in Pennsylvania or safe in the Susquehanna Valley?
Could I ask for both?
Sure. It's all relative. I mean, they feel safe. They feel safer here than they do, like I said, in places like Texas or Florida or Idaho, for that matter. But I think the acceptance level is less. And I think we need to look at that. Why do LGBTQ plus people feel less accepted? Like, for example, in Lancaster, where I live, a few months ago, we had the drag story queen issue at the library.
I remember that, yes.
Right? It was really horrible, where there was a bomb threat that was called in. And actually, I think they thought it was coming from Nigeria. But why would someone from Nigeria care about what's going on in Lancaster? So we're kind of trying to figure that one out. But
could be a VPN, trying to disguise location.
Right. Exactly. But when you have things like that, people are now afraid to actually come together and celebrate in Pride because of bomb threats or threats for safety. I mean, the Pulse incident, that still is very, very close in our minds in terms of what happened, where LGBTQ plus people are being targeted and killed simply because of who they are.
What do you hope comes out of this survey and research?
It's a great question. I think awareness. I think it's important for people to understand, people outside of the LGBTQ plus community, that the reality for LGBTQ plus people is very different in terms of their perception of how they're treated, how they're accepted, and how safe they feel than how many people might actually think it is. Like, people think, well, what's the problem, right? We have same-sex marriage. We have employment non-discrimination protections. Why are you afraid? What's the problem? But when you continually have this anti-LGBTQ plus rhetoric, and as Aaron said, when you make that association and suggest that LGBTQ plus people are pedophiles or they're grooming in some way, that is really, really dangerous, and that is going to spread fear in the LGBTQ plus community.
How can someone help you with their research? They're listening and they say, I really want to be involved with this project.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're a member of the LGBTQ plus community, they can take the survey. We're going to be launching a 2024 survey in August, so we encourage them to take that survey. I think it's also to educate, if you're outside or even within the LGBTQ plus community, educate yourself about what's going on. And if you see something, say something. Be an ally. Don't be a bully. Don't contribute to the hate and the anti-LGBTQ plus rhetoric.
Yeah, there's so much misinformation out there that's purposely created to be misinformation. So, you know, making sure that, as Susan just said, educating yourself and you know, critically thinking about why people are saying this about LGBTQ people. What is the end goal? So that's one way to help out.
So, Aaron, why did you decide you wanted to be a part of this project? How did you get involved?
Thinking back about 2 years now, I got involved primarily at first because I'm an alumni of Franklin and Marshall College, where the project is based out of, and I also have a master's in women's gender and sexuality studies. So I wanted to do something that was obviously using that knowledge set. And I think what drew me to the F&M Global Barometers was the fact that it's so comprehensive. There's not many places that are tracking this information in a reliable and objective way. So the fact that the project was covering 204 countries, also serving the LGBT population, which has never been done before, that's really what drew me to the project.
Is there anything that was surprising that you found through your research here? Or is there anything that just wasn't surprising at all, where you said, okay, I expected that?
Sure. I guess one thing that was, I guess, again, was not surprising, which is the fact that trans rights lag behind LGB rights. On the F&M Global Barometer of Transgender Rights, the scores overall across the world are much lower than the scores on the F&M Global Barometer of Gay Rights. The world mean is lower, for example, on the GBTR, the Trans Rights Barometer, versus the Gay Rights Barometer. So that was not surprising to me. But I think what was also exciting about this data point is just that we're actually quantifying that reality. We're not just saying it. And then we're able to actually use that information to push policymakers, to help researchers, and also to help activists and advocates use this information to do their thing. So that was exciting as well.
When you two look at the research, did you find these issues were more prominent with younger or older members of the LGBTQ plus community?
Right. So one of the things that stood out to us, which was a little surprising, was younger LGBTQ plus individuals felt less safe. They felt less accepted. They felt more discriminated against than some of the individuals 55 and older that took the Perception Index survey.
That's interesting. I wonder where that stems from, only because there's so many more social media movements. Mm-hmm. There's been legislation to mm-hmm. help them. And then also all the Pride festivities. Mm-hmm. What played into that? Or do you have an idea? Or did they speak mm-hmm. about that?
Well, I think part of it might be, and we can hypothesize on this, but you mentioned Stonewall before.
Yes.
So for many older LGBTQ plus individuals, they went through Stonewall. They had to riot to get their rights. And so perhaps their expectations were a lot lower than some of the younger LGBTQ plus individuals who have felt like, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, homosexuality is decriminalized in the United States, but we're still being treated as second-class citizens. I think the other thing that we're also seeing is a lot of younger people are identifying as non-binary and queer. And I think society is kind of confused about that, to be honest. And so, you know, they don't quite know what to do with that. And I think that might also reflect this sense of not being accepted or understood.
Yeah, I think younger people, too, are generally more educated on these topics and more open and accepting of people within their community. And so in that sense, their expectations of what is right or what they deserve in terms of legislation is higher than perhaps older people who, right, were kind of, they expected the bare bones, same-sex marriage, things like that. So I think that could be one reason as well. And I think also this interesting data point that we discovered about how younger people actually, they scored worse on our survey. That's an example of the power of the F&M Global mm-hmm. Barometers. That's a research question that we've produced with our data. And now other organizations, other researchers can take that information and try to continue to hypothesize with us about why that is. So that's mm-hmm. that's one of the things that we actually can do for the world.
You also spoke about being an ally and not being a bully. What exactly is an ally, and how does a person go about being an ally?
Hmm. That's a great question. Well, an ally is someone who's supportive of the LGBTQ plus community, someone who is not attacking individuals because of their sexual orientation or gender identity, someone who speaks out when they see discrimination, not staying quiet or being part of that, or even bullying someone because they might be transgender or non-binary or lesbian or gay.
Yeah, I'll throw another term on the table. There's also a term called accomplice.
So being accomplice.
Being an accomplice to the LGBT community, as in actually being out there and disrupting the forces that are oppressing LGBTQI people. So that might mean calling your representatives, going to rallies. I think one thing that could be really important is attending school board meetings, joining your local school board.
Yes.
Forgive me, I don't know the name of the county or the town, but very recently, within the last 2 weeks, there was a push by a local school board to partner with a conservative far-right law group to remove LGBTQI content from the curriculum. And so being on your school board and preventing that from happening is one way to be an accomplice that protects not just your child, if you have a child in a public school, but also generally the community at whole. Those children are going to graduate. They're going to go out into the world. So how can you actually be there disrupting disinformation or hate? That's a way to be an accomplice.
And vote. Get out and vote. If you support LGBTQ plus rights, which are human rights, if you believe that every citizen should be treated the same way and not as second class citizens, get out and vote and make your opinion known.
I want to go back to the Stonewall Uprising. For some of us that may not understand what that is and how it even sparked the Pride movement, could one of you or both of you speak to that?
Sure. Well, back in the day, LGBTQ plus people didn't have any rights. Being a member of the LGBTQ plus community, you could be thrown in jail.
Wow.
Because basically, your existence was in question, right? You could spend time in prison because of your sexual orientation or gender identity. And in Stonewall in New York, basically the police were targeting particularly gay men and transgender women and other members of the LGBTQ plus community. But they would go into bars and they would arrest individuals and blackmail them, beat them, do whatever. And finally, members of the LGBTQ plus community said, enough is enough. And they said, no more are we going to take this. We're going to fight back, and we're going to assert the fact that we are American citizens, and we deserve to be treated in the same way as any other American citizen.
Yeah, I think important to note about Stonewall, too, is that the people who were leading the movement were people of color and trans people. Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, they were the people who really started the riots and the movement as a whole. I think that often gets lost when we're talking about this in the mainstream.
Yeah.
When it comes to the study that you two conducted, what went into it?
Well, it wasn't just two of us. It's a team of
people,
right? Yeah. We have 12 years of data now, 2011 to 2022 for 204 countries and territories. We have a database that, and you can access actually our information if you're more interested. It's just the www.fnmglobalbarometers.org. All that information is on the website. And basically, it did take a lot of time. It did take a lot of effort, but it's about teamwork and getting that information out.
When you looked at the people in the queer community here in Central PA, how exactly did they feel?
Well, it depends. I think when it came to LGBTQ plus people, if you're talking about queer specifically, we can disaggregate by identity. And that's one of the powerful elements of the survey, that we can see how lesbians felt, how gay men felt, how trans women felt, how trans men felt, non-binary, queer, and intersex. And in fact, we also have the largest data set on intersex individuals globally. But again, generally, queer people, LGBTQ plus people, felt relatively unaccepted in the Susquehanna Valley. And that's, again, something that we need to look at as a community. Why do our LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters feel unaccepted? What can we do better to make them feel a part of our community, a part of a valued community, and share in their human dignity?
Yeah, and just more specifically to your question, right, remember, we grade on a scale of 0 to 100%, just like you would in a normal classroom, and Pennsylvania scores a C overall, and that's true as well if you break it down regionally or by city. Philadelphia scored an average of 72%, Pittsburgh a 76%, and then the Susquehanna Valley a 72%, so they're tied with Philadelphia, but they actually, in the Susquehanna Valley, showed a lower level of acceptance than Pittsburgh and Philadelphia at a 65%, so acceptance seems to be the lowest in the Susquehanna Valley.
Is there a website where we can stay up to date with the F&M Global Barometer's research?
There sure is. It's the F&M Global Barometer's website. It's www.fnmglobalbarometers.org, and that's spelled out F-A-N-D-M, Global Barometers, all one word, .org.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dicklich Nelson and Aaron Hallenbach, for being with us and sharing your research with us. And thank you for listening. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, like our page, The Spark, to stay connected. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'm Asia Tabb, and this is The Spark.